Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin and helping you maneuver through this waning dystopia, it's another episode of Shirts and Skins with Zay and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Crap Bag tells you how to confront a bear, at least according to what Rutgers is telling its students. At 12:30, it's an early edition of Why Today Matters, including some big-time birthdays from hip-hop and golf. And in mere minutes, Chris Beard adds another piece to next year's team that may push them to legit national championship contenders. And speaking of Longhorn hoops, Kevin Durant puts up an all-time playoff performance against the Bucks. I'm Trey Elling. John Reichel is behind the glass today. How you doing, John?
Doing all right. How about yourself?
Doing good, thank you. And sitting across from me is what not the Waxahachie native who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. That's because Chad Hastings is on vacation this week. That extends for a couple more days. He will be back on Monday. In the meantime, I have had the pleasure of welcoming a number of co-hosts into the studio with me. Today I have a few different people, starting with the producer of B&E and a future star in this business. It is a guy whose age I missed by a good 4 or 5 years. It's Isaiah Collier. What's up, Zay? Thank you so much for joining me today.
Appreciate it, Trey. Thanks for having me, my
okay,
guy.
Okay, first of all, I was about to bury you for being engaged and being a little bit too young. For some reason, I thought you were in your mid-20s.
Ooh.
But then I double-checked that rather than making an assumption. I said, Zay, how old are you right now? How old are you?
30 years old.
30.
Black, don't crack, baby.
When did you turn the big 3-0?
February,
okay.
Yeah.
How did you guys celebrate? Obviously, we're coming out of COVID at that time, so you may not have had a big blowout, but I'm assuming y'all did something special, correct?
Okay, so I never had the traditional birthday because my whole family, their birthdays are also in February. Mm-hmm. Like my dad's birthday's on the 5th, mine's on the 3rd, my mom's is on the 18th.
Wow.
So everybody celebrated their birthdays together. So
Okay. That's
what we usually do. We just have like a big family meal. My dad might get on the grill. So yeah, it's pretty cool. But
I dig that. Did you do something a little bit special this year because it is that big number?
Yeah. Yeah. We just got together. We didn't get a chance to. Well, we did last year, but we haven't in a long time. And that was kind of the end of February. We kind of got together, but we were still masked up.
Okay.
And I think around Easter was the first time where everybody kind of let loose since, you know, the restrictions got a little better and everybody got shot up. You know what I'm saying?
Now, yes, I do. I do understand. Most everybody is shot up at this point, or you've had it, or some combination of the two, or you're just rolling with it, or you're just pressing your luck. And good luck to those people. Apparently, Chris Paul is on that list of people.
Oh, man.
We can talk about that in just a little bit. I do want to ask one more thing about you, though, because we don't ever get to find out enough about you when you're behind the glass. You get to chime in here and there. Obviously, you're the guy that everybody turns to talk NBA. I know you're capable of a whole lot more. That's why we're going to get into a little bit more throughout the course of this hour. But you're engaged, and I think you've been engaged for about a year now, correct?
Man, it feels like longer. Probably a year and some change.
Year and some change.
Fiance ain't listening, hopefully not, because I'm off on that. But I'm in it. I'm locked in.
You took the big step. If you don't remember the exact date, that's okay. Chad Hastings is the date guy on this show. I don't remember dates. The reason why I know my wedding is because it was on my birthday. And I told my now wife when we were thinking about when to get married, we're like, oh, how about this weekend? This weekend, we were living in Chicago at the time, Drink Up, and we wanted to do a destination wedding, someplace that would allow us to escape the brutal cold of the Chicago winter in January or February. And we looked at the calendar and it's like, wait a second, January 12th is on a Saturday. That's just after the new year. So prices will probably be a little bit lower. There might be more rooms available. Let's try this out. Sure enough, it worked. And now I don't have to worry about celebrating my birthday because I get to celebrate my wedding anniversary each and every year.
See, that's what I was trying to go for because originally, we were going to get married on the same date, I guess, we started going together. I don't know what the kids are saying nowadays, but
the day she officially became your bae?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, and then obviously that got postponed, mm-hmm. and we had to just keep on pushing it back. But yeah, at this point, I'm just thinking about January 16th, 2022.
Okay, so the date is circled on the calendar then.
Yes, but we will be married before then. That's just when the big ceremony and party is.
The party is the important thing.
Exactly.
Y'all are going to go to a JP or City Hall or something to get married before that?
Yeah.
And you're going to do the party here in Austin?
Yes. Kind of that outskirts, Nutty Brown area. Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Out near where Bucky lives, or I guess a little bit past where Bucky lives.
Right by there.
Cool. Very cool. Well, thank you for filling in today, Zay. I'm going to get your thoughts on the NBA because I don't know very much about that, and you do. And I know people are starting to care a little bit more about the league right now, considering that we do have some compelling conference semifinals matchups going on right now, with the exception of the Phoenix Suns, who obviously swept the Denver Nuggets, but they have their own storyline that we can talk about now as well. Before that, though, do need to let people know about the huge get for Chris Beard and the Texas Longhorn basketball team. I think it was last night it was announced that Trey Mitchell, who is a 6'9 big guy from UMass, played his first 2 years at UMass, was the newcomer of the year as a freshman, actually put up very similar stats to this last season as a sophomore, where he was first team all A-10, while averaging nearly 19 points per game, more than 7 boards, a block and a half, shooting 52% from the field, 37.5% from three, nearly 80% from the free throw line, more than 30 points in 5 games this last year. He is now a Texas Longhorn. And Zay, we have gone from enormous question marks about whether Texas would be even a 500 basketball team at the end of this most recent disappointing season, to Shaka Smart moving on, Chris Del Conte going out there and getting who I and a lot of other people believe was the best candidate at the time, Chris Beard, a guy who has long been rumored to be interested in the Texas gig. Sure enough, he comes aboard, and almost immediately he starts reshaping this roster to where within a couple of weeks he gets some commitments from players from the previous year's roster, guys who don't want to transfer out. They want to see this thing through. And then he starts landing transfer after transfer, and then gets a kid from Texas Tech who committed to Texas Tech, who ends up recommitting to the Texas Longhorns. And now he seems to be rounding it off with a guy who is a big-time player, who is looked at as somebody who has a pro skill set on the offensive side of the ball and is no slouch defensively either. And you look at the most recent preseason poll put out by Jeff Goodman, who's one of the bright basketball minds out there right now. He put this out after the Trey Mitchell commitment last night. Number one is Gonzaga. It's understandable, even without Suggs. Two, Villanova. Number three, the Texas Longhorns. And he says Chris Beard and his staff brought two double-digit scores back to Austin in Jones and Ramey and added 5 top transfers. The point guard spot will be key, and whether Askew, who was the kid from Kentucky, can be a front-line floor leader, but there is enough talent in Austin to go with one of the best coaches in the country. Do you think this specific move here, getting Trey Mitchell, coupled with everything else that has happened over these last couple of months, does make Texas a legit threat to make a championship run next year?
Absolutely, 100%. And it's been crazy because the two schools that you named before, Gonzaga and Nova, like Chris Beard is up there with Jay Wright and Mark Few as the top coach in the nation. And he's proven that at Tech. And now that he's at the 40 Acres, he's proven that even without playing the game, just by his reputation and the coaching staff that he's brought in is absolutely unbelievable, too. And adding Trey Mann, a guy who dominated the A-10, which is very improved and has a lot of good guys. Like you think about the A-10, you're getting a lot of gritty New York, East Coast, Philly guys in your conference. And I want to say he might be from the Pennsylvania, Philly area also. But yeah, when you got guys like Timmy Allen, who's a versatile scorer coming out of Utah, I know Askew, I watched that Kentucky team this last year a lot, and nobody was good on that team. So I think it was a lot to, for a point guard coming in as a freshman who, during the COVID year, one thing about Calipari, he needs you as much time, or he needs as much time as possible with those freshmen, because that's where he makes his money. And if he doesn't, then we saw this last year with Big Blue.
And he was a freshman this last year, and there was a lot of pressure on him too, to be that guy. He's not going to have that pressure this year because he has some guys returning from last year's team with Andrew Jones and Courtney Raby. And yeah, they may not be pure point guards. Those guys can handle the ball getting up the floor to alleviate some of those issues for him. They also added Dylan Disu from Vanderbilt and Christian Bishop as well, another big guy out of Creighton. And at this point, it's almost like a wealth of riches. You wonder how he is going to distribute playing time because he does have so much talent and guys who have actually been in college basketball for at least a couple of years too.
That Dylan Disu versus Greg Brown, Vandergriff, Pflugerville-Hendrickson game was an absolute movie. And when I say that, I say both of those guys put over 25 points, and you could tell Dylan Disu, it seemed like he was better than Vanderbilt. Like, it seemed like he committed early, which, you know, a lot of the time Jerry Stackhouse was there, you know, it seemed very nice, you know, outside looking in, but at the end of the day, when you're playing in the SEC and you go to a school that's so academically, you know, needy as Vanderbilt, it might be a little much. So I'm very glad that he came back down to the 40 acres. And going back to ask you, he reclassified. Like, he was supposed to be
a senior.
And instead, he's playing for arguably the biggest college basketball school in the world. So that's a lot of pressure for somebody who's, I think, just turned 19. And I think coming here, he's going to be a lot better than what we saw last year in Kentucky.
Great point. All right, speaking of Texas Longhorn basketball, although he was only on campus, I think, officially for about 4 months, Kevin Durant continues to fill Longhorn fans' hearts with pride with everything that he has done at the NBA level. His latest feat is a stat line that has never been seen before, at least in the postseason. I'm forgetting if I saw all time, but at the very least in the postseason, nobody has ever gone 45, 15, and 10 before. Kevin Durant, in a heroic effort last night, finishes with 49 points, 17 boards, 10 assists to lead Brooklyn to a pretty big comeback over a Milwaukee team that really did look like they were in control through three quarters. Brooklyn ends up winning that one 114-108. They now hold a 3-2 advantage in the Eastern Conference semifinals. And James Harden comes back last night, actually plays the second most minutes after Kevin Durant. Is not very good, but his presence obviously does still matter. But this really did turn into the KD show. And we were hearing people yesterday, Zay, say, look, if Kevin Durant wants to supplant himself as one of the all-time greats, he needs to show up tonight and carry his team to victory. I didn't necessarily agree with that, but he proved all of those people who thought that he may not be able to do it wrong by what he was able to do on the court.
Yeah, people don't understand how talented this guy really is, because when you're 7 foot and he makes the game look too easy, like it's kind of annoying for somebody who played basketball at a young age and worked very hard and knew that he wouldn't be able to get to that level because there's just certain things that God doesn't give you, and I understood that. But when you see him, it's like he has everything that you would want in a basketball player. Like, there's no one that you could compare to him. I remember when he was coming out of UT, people were trying to say George Gervin. I was like, George Gervin wasn't shooting turnaround fadeaways at 18 years old. Like, I remember Rick Barnes feeding the post, and he was shooting turnaround fadeaways as a go-to move. And again, we just never seen anything like this before. We'll never see anything like this before. Ever again, I mean. And I said on B&E earlier, Bird, you got to move out the way because he's right there with Bron as the best small forward to ever play the game.
Yeah, and even though he's, what, 6'10", 6'11", you don't always like guys that size shooting three-pointers. I've never had the issue with him shooting threes, even going back to Texas. Like, the stroke looks natural. He obviously makes it a lot, and that has just continued at the NBA level now, too.
Yeah, and he could shoot over anybody. Like, he's so efficient. He gets to his spots. He doesn't let anybody rattle him. Like, if you get into him and you start, like what happened with PJ Tucker the other game, that only makes him better because he has that killer instinct.
Yes, he does.
And it seemed like when he was first at UT, they're like, oh, he's this shy kid. And that was kind of the knock on him going into the draft. You know, everybody was like, yeah, we don't know if he just has that killer instinct.
I don't think he could get 225 up once on the bench press.
Yeah, all just ridiculous non-basketball stuff.
It's like, what is he, an offensive lineman here? Just watch the tape, man. See this guy play.
Yeah, yeah, in the Big 12. Absolutely dominating the Big 12, and people had doubts. So I know Portland is clearly still kicking themselves in the butt. They just fired their head coach and their superstars disgruntled. But yeah, what KD, the performance he put on yesterday was absolutely unbelievable.
There were two terrible opinions that came of last night's game. One was a general opinion that I didn't even necessarily see on Twitter, but I'm seeing it reported on Larry Brown Sports today. And that is some people apparently complaining about Steve Nash playing Kevin Durant for all 48 minutes last night. It's like, are you freaking kidding me? The proof is in the pudding here. The results are a victory and one of the all-time great performances in the NBA playoffs. And you're complaining because the guy played 48 freaking minutes?
Yeah, this is the playoffs, man. Like,
give me a freaking break. You clearly never played sports. I'm not even going to say at a high level, at even the junior high level. If you're bitching about a guy playing 48 minutes who clearly wants to be out there and is giving you every reason to keep him on the court, too.
Who is this? Tom Herman? His media guys? Not wanting to play their best players in meaningful games the time?
Man. And here's the other one from Reggie Miller, of all people. Did you see the suggestion he made?
Reggie's very questionable on a lot of things. Like, when he played, he was very suspect on certain things, just
like,
you know,
dirty, you're saying?
Yeah, like, yeah. He was dirty, but he always played the I don't do anything wrong. Like, look at me, I got the big ears, I'm the nice guy. Like, come on, Reggie, like, you were a dirty snake. Like, he was right below Jordan on being a dirty snake.
He belonged on the San Antonio Spurs for at least a couple of years. So Reggie Miller, apparently after last night's game, comes out with this take. He says, Steve Nash should consider sitting Kevin Durant and James Harden for Game 6 to get them ready for a potential Game 7.
Are the ratings that bad? Ratings can't be that bad.
I don't know. Because that does feel like just trying to throw something out there to get people's attention, to get them to maybe want to tune in. I would maybe get it with James Harden had he only played, let's say, 20 minutes last night and was being asked to taken out of the game. He played 45 minutes. Like, he's going to let you know if everything is good to go for Game 6. So maybe you have that conversation with him, like, hey, we may not need you tonight. Do you want to be out there? And if he says yes, you let gamers play. But sitting Kevin Durant just because he played 48 minutes, he gets a freaking day off, man. These guys have all sorts of incredible modern technology at their disposal to allow them to fully recover in a couple of days to get ready for that next game. It's not like they're having to take a train across the country to play this next game, by the way. They get to fly to that next game and probably, you know, go through the various recovery methods while they're doing so, too. Sit Kevin Durant in Game 6? Are you insane? There's no good reason to do that.
Yeah, I wish Larry Bird would have went up to Reggie Miller during the 98 Eastern Conference Finals playing against the Chicago Bulls and say, hey, Reggie, we got Mike tonight, Game 6. We're up 3-2. I'm going to sit you and Mark Jackson, but
just
be ready
for Game
7.
Just make sure you're ready for Game 7.
Just make sure you're ready for Game 7. Yeah. Okay, cool. Larry Bird saying that, which is a Hall of Famer, and Reggie Miller is a Hall of Famer. Yeah, that's so disappointing.
I would expect that from like a schleppy, you know, sports guy who covers basketball or covers every sport for a living and just doesn't have a well-informed opinion specifically to the sport or any sport for that matter, if he's suggesting a guy sit out a playoff game. But Reggie Miller, he should know better, because for all his flaws, for all the dirty plays that he made over the years with the Pacers. He was also a gamer, too. He was not a guy who was going to shy away from the moment. So for him to suggest that James Harden and Kevin Durant should do that, that's a disappointing take by him.
Yeah, I don't understand it, but I don't know, man. These guys, they get in the media and they just flip the switch and think they are obligated to just say random things because they got that, you know, clout.
Yep. The Clippers and Jazz are back in action tonight. That series tied at 2 games apiece. The Clippers are going to be without Kawhi Leonard at least for tonight, possibly for more. Apparently, he suffers a knee injury at some point near the end of Game 4, and he told his teammates pretty soon after that game, you guys may want to plan on not having me for the next game. So do you think a lack of Kawhi Leonard leads to the Jazz retaking control of this series, going up 3-2 with a victory tonight?
Yeah, you have to think so. I know Paul George is a good player, but we haven't seen Paul George play without himself after the injury. Remember that horrific injury mm-hmm. that he had with USA Basketball? And Paul George, even though he's still been very good, he's been a number two guy, and they need Kawhi Leonard. Every time Kawhi plays bad, they lose. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they don't have him with Tyronn Lue as their coach, it's not looking good for the Clippers. And it just seems like all these injuries are happening, man. It's very, very disappointing. But when you have a shortened season like that because you're trying to fit it in before the Olympics, I just think this is very, very expected. Like, I'm not surprised at all that all these injuries are happening with the bubble being last October.
Well, this isn't necessarily an injury. News broke a little bit earlier, just a couple of hours ago, that Chris Paul is currently in COVID health/safety protocol. I guess he hasn't tested positive necessarily per se. I have not read that just yet, but it sounds like he was around somebody who maybe tested positive. I guess the implication here is that Chris Paul is not vaccinated just yet, so he is out an indefinite amount of time. Now, the good news for Chris Paul, Phoenix Suns fans, those who have just enjoyed watching Chris Paul play in these playoffs, because it really has been a rejuvenation, is that he does not necessarily have to sit out the requisite 10 days. I think he needs a certain number of negative tests in a row to ultimately be cleared, but Chris Paul is a COVID protocol victim right now. So hopefully that doesn't cut too deeply into the Suns' next round series against either Utah or the Clippers.
Yeah, if he doesn't have the vaccine, then that's on him at this point. You know, how bad do you want it if you don't have the vaccine, Chris Paul? If you want to win a championship, you know what's going on. So I can't have any sympathy for that, but that's very unfortunate for the whole organization. Like, if I'm looking at Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and Monty Williams, and again, we don't know all the details, but it doesn't sound good. And I don't know who he was around or why risk that, even if you do have the vaccine with what's at stake. But it just seems like Chris Paul's always had this bad luck throughout his whole entire career. And it's very sad.
I'm going to make a prediction that this will not extend for more than a game, maybe two, into the next round series. It really depends on how long this current series that we just talked about goes. If it goes a full 7, Chris Paul may be back for Game 1. But if Utah or the Clippers can close it out in 6, there's a possibility we see him miss a game or two. And then hopefully nothing else after that.
So Utah games tonight, then Friday, mm-hmm. then Sunday. And they'll probably turn around and play either Tuesday or Wednesday.
Tuesday or Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah, he'd be fine.
Yeah, so that's about a week. I think it's like 4 or 5 negative tests in a row in order to get back out on the court. So hopefully for Chris Paul and the Phoenix Suns, it's not much worse than that. All right, coming up, it's going to be an early edition of Why Today Matters. That's because coming up at 2 o'clock, I'm hosting a Austin Food and Restaurant Roundtable with Matthew Odom of The Statesman and Adam Orman of Locadoro. Coming up at 1, Jeff Ward joins me for the full hour to talk sports and a whole lot more. You know I love asking Jeff Ward those non-sports questions. Coming up next, though, Why Today Matters, including a couple of big-time birthdays. You're listening to Shirts and Skins, minus Chad Hastings, plus Zay Collier, right here on The Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Back here on Shirts and Skins, no Chad Hastings today or rest of this week. Joining me in the 12 o'clock hour today, it is Isaiah Collier, a.k.a. Zay. John Reichel is behind the glass. John, why are you playing Phil Collins right now?
I was talking with Zay at the beginning of the show, and not only does he have an affinity for the 80s, but Phil Collins was one of the first artists he mentioned when he asked him what his favorite artists were.
Okay. Phil Collins, huh?
Yeah, it's more
Phil Collins solo or Genesis?
Solo. More just this jam. Yeah. Now I'm just trying to name some people to make myself look cool in front of John. Because I'm just really know songs.
Yeah.
Not necessarily artists.
That's okay. I'm kind of at that point, too. Yes. I mean, I have my artists that I love, but a lot of it is about, oh, I like this individual song from this person.
Yeah, so I just wanted the brownie points with John at the end of the day.
Who else were you throwing out there?
See, that's the thing. It kind of just stopped there. But first thing that comes to mind, like classic 80 jam, is Eddie Murphy, Party All the Time.
Did you say classic 80s jam?
Classic 80s jam, I mean, produced by Rick James. Come on now.
It was a song that came out in the 1980s. I'll give you that.
Yo, Eddie was feeling himself. Like Axel Foley era, he was feeling himself.
Oh, he was feeling himself all right. Just like Shaq Diesel did when he came out with his first hip-hop album.
That might have been my first taste of hip-hop. First album.
You know, I got skills. Do you want me to, what is it? Do you want me to dunk it? Yeah. No, wait. Do you want me to shoot it? No. Do you want me to pass it? No. Do you want me to dunk it? Yeah. My brother had that CD. I knew that whole song at one point. Fortunately, it's left my memory.
Yeah, after Jordan, Shaq was my favorite player of the 90s, so my mom knew I would love that album, and, you know, I jammed that, or tape, I think it was a tape. It was around 93.
Yeah,
I was very young.
I think we had it on CD. That song was called Got Skills. Do you remember any of the other songs on that?
Yeah, Can We Rock? What's up,
yeah.
Doc? Can We Rock?
Yeah.
What's up, classics,
yeah, I remember that
man.
One. Okay, all right. We do have an update on Kawhi Leonard's status. We said that he was out for tonight's game. Zay, it looks like he may be out indefinitely. Shams is reporting that the Clippers fear Leonard has suffered an ACL injury. He's out indefinitely.
Yeah, and that's just kind of the story of the playoffs, man. Like, all these superstars getting hurt, and at the end of the day, it's just survival of the fittest. Like, who has the superstars and which team is the most healthy? And, you know, with CP3 maybe catching the vid, it's just like, what next? So for the Clippers, they're going to have to, you know, basically reoperate their whole entire philosophy for Tyronn Lue. And we got to go through Paul George if I'm a Clippers fan. And, yeah, with his playoff history, it's not looking good.
No, it is not. All right, we will bring you any more updates as they come along. Right now, though, it's an early edition of Why Today Matters, sponsored by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. That's because in the 2 o'clock hour, I'm hosting an Austin food and restaurant roundtable. So Why Today Matters, Zay. We're going to start on the birthday side of things. And I've been doing overrated, underrated this week with birthdays and with certain food holidays. So we start off with a couple of big birthdays. Speaking of Shaq and that era of hip-hop, today would have been Tupac's birthday. Would have been Tupac's, oh my gosh, his 50th birthday. That is a
Whoa.
Crazy thing to think about. Tupac, overrated, underrated, or properly rated?
I say properly rated.
I agree with that. He has a certain allure about him. The Machiavelli album that he came out with after his death, I think only added to the allure. And yeah, real hip-hop heads. Even though they may realize that Tupac Shakur was a theater and dance kid, that it might have at first been a little bit of an act, It became full-fledged at one point and ultimately cost him his life as well. And he was a very good MC.
Yeah, it's clearly a very sad story, but his legacy will forever live on. And he has some of the greatest songs to ever be played in hip-hop.
No question. Phil Mickelson turns 51 today. God, only a year older than Tupac. Phil Mickelson, overrated, underrated, properly rated?
Lefty's my guy, man. Battling with Tiger all those years, I would say
finally
underrated.
Broke through. Underrated, okay.
Yeah, just because he was in the shadow so much that his greatness was, again, just overshadowed by Tiger. And, you know, it's kind of like Durant some in a way with LeBron. Like, he was always been in LeBron's shadow, and now LeBron gets hurt like Tiger. We're seeing, oh, Lefty, he's still one of the greatest. So I say underrated.
I would have gone underrated until the last couple of years, but specifically with this most recent major win and how much love Phil is currently getting as this 51-year-old guy, I'm going properly rated now. I think people have always loved Phil Mickelson. You're right. He was the also-ran to Tiger Woods, just an unfortunate byproduct of one of the most dominant eras in golf by a single player, but Phil Mickelson has finally gotten his, and he did become the oldest guy to ever win a major. People understand why Phil Mickelson is important to golf, and I think they have for a little bit while now, but that is especially the case as of this year. All right, some holidays. Overrated, underrated, properly rated. National Fudge Day. Fudge. Overrated, underrated, properly rated.
Overrated.
Over freaking rated exclamation point.
Like, is it a brownie or what is it, mousse, or it's just a glob of chocolate?
It doesn't know what it is. John, fudge, overrated, underrated, properly rated.
Yeah, I'm with y'all. It's a overrated for sure.
Now, what am I just trying to chew on chocolate like it's a cud or something? Like I'm a cow chewing on cud? That's not right. I need something that eats and actually breaks up in my mouth that I can then swallow. I don't want to chew on it like gum for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I've always been confused by the fudge gift. Somebody gives you fudge. Because my family, we've never eaten it. My mom never made it. But they would always get gifted fudge. And obviously, I have a sweet tooth. So when I would go try the fudge, I'd be like, what is this? And it would have nuts in it too, which would completely ruin anything for me. But again, like you said, it just doesn't know what it is. It's just too confusing. Like, you can't put ice cream on it because it's too rich.
Exactly.
Like, there's nothing to substitute or anything. Like, fudge is tough.
Exactly. All right. It's No Orange Clothes Day. Orange clothes, orange colored clothing. Even though it's No Orange Clothes Day. Orange-colored clothing. Overrated, underrated, properly rated?
Underrated.
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 All right. I'm going overrated in Austin, underrated everywhere else.
Touche. I'm with that.
And then we also have Fresh Veggies Day. John, vegetables, overrated, underrated, properly rated?
I think they're properly rated, at least in my book. I don't know. People don't like them. The people who love them will. I think they could just stay where it is, honestly.
That's Zay?
Underrated.
Okay.
Underrated. If you season those bad boys up properly,
yeah,
then vegetables could be very tasty.
I'm with you on that. Do you guys have a Mount Rushmore for vegetables? Four favorite vegetables. What's on the list?
Like, done right.
Yeah.
Let's see. Would broccoli be on there?
Yes, broccoli is a vegetable.
No, I meant on the Rushmore, man. No. I meant, like, is it going to be on the Rushmore? I think broccoli can be there. Maybe asparagus could be on there.
Okay.
And the other two can get kind of hazy. What do y'all think?
I'm good with cauliflower.
I was going to say that cauliflower too, yeah.
Broccoli, cauliflower, spinach.
Mm.
Potatoes count as a vegetable.
Spinach, then.
Yeah, potatoes. Oh, yeah, potatoes. I don't know. Spinach is like one of those like vegetables that's like water trying too hard. It's like celery and lettuce, you know? I barely count it as a vegetable.
So difference between celery, lettuce, and spinach. Spinach has just a little bit of a flavor, but it's not so overwhelming like raw celery is.
Sure.
To where it overtakes everything else that you're trying to do.
What?
Spinach is a great
What kind of palate do you have? Spinach has no flavor.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It has next to no flavor. It has a tiny bit of flavor. It tastes a tiny bit grassy, but it's not going to overwhelm things. Like, arugula is pretty bitter, and celery is just flat out nasty.
Oh, celery is terrible.
Spinach is a great vehicle for a salad. It's the great undercarriage, if you will, for everything else that you're putting on top of the salad. Because it's so nutritionally dense and flavor-wise, it's pretty much neutral. So you can throw a bunch of other good stuff on there and still feel pretty good about yourself because you got some spinach, too.
That's true. Spinach is good on a salad. That's the only time I eat spinach. Only time.
Yeah, that and maybe the occasional pizza for me. Once again, it's psychology for me as a former fat kid, Zay. If I'm putting pepperoni and jalapenos and a bunch of cheese and the delicious dough, throw a little bit of spinach on there, you feel a little bit better about the decision you just made. Like you actually ate something good while you're consuming a whole bunch of bad.
As a kid, who would you compare yourself to, like a, I guess, kid celebrity, or, you know, who's the kid from the Goonies that always lifts his belly up?
The Truffle Shuffle kid?
Yeah, Truffle Shuffle kid. Were you around that hefty era?
So the weird thing about me as a fat kid, this is a great question. I have not been asked this one before. The weird thing about me as a fat kid is I carried all of the obesity from here all the way to just below the butt cheeks, let's say. And so I still had twigs for arms and legs. Here's the best way to put it. I don't have a good celebrity for you, but picture a sack of potatoes, put a head on that, put two sticks for arms and two sticks for legs. That was Fat Trey as a late elementary school, middle school, or early high schooler.
Okay.
Until I drank nothing but Ultra Slim Fast for an entire summer staying with my grandparents.
Slim Fast era.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, Ultra Slim Fast worked for me. I actually got a hold of it.
Tell me next,
that.
You were doing Tybo also?
No, I wasn't doing Tybo. It was legitimately just Slim Fast.
Okay.
When I was staying with my grandparents in Houston for an entire summer, letting out maybe the worst flatulence the city of Houston has ever ever smelt in a city that has pretty bad flatulence. And then I actually got off of the Slim Fast to go back home to the Dallas area, go back to high school, and people were shocked at the transformation. And I never let anybody know that I was a Slim Fast kid, but I was.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because I remember the Slim Fast era.
It was a bad era.
Yeah.
I mean, you were not consuming something that was nutritionally good for you. You were just under-consuming calories. And while that's a bad long-term strategy for most people, it actually did help me turn my metabolism around because I got a hold on the diet after that. And I've had some fluctuations since then. I've got a little bit Oprah since I was 16, 17 years old. I've had my heavier days and my lighter days, but I've got a pretty good handle on it in my 40s now.
I love bread. Bread, bread, bread.
Bread, bread, bread.
Bread, bread, bread. Get a grip, Oprah.
He is helping out as Chad Hastings is on vacation this week. He'll be with me for one more segment. Coming up on the other side, it is the crap bag. A bear is apparently loose on campus at Rutgers that has caused administration to give some advice to its students on what to do if they encounter said bear. You're listening to Shirts and Skins here on The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Okay. Back here on Shirts and Skins, no Chad Hastings, Isaiah Collier helping out for one more segment here. This is the song that we were talking about last segment.
Come on, man. Did Eddie ever make an album?
That's a good question. Eddie Murphy album.
Because I felt like the lifestyle that Rick was probably influencing probably would have shifted him off a different path that we wouldn't really have come into America. Other classics.
Well, this was after. Wasn't this after Coming to America?
I want to say it was 85. Coming to America is 88.
Wow, Zay, yeah, you got that. 100%, 85.
Wow.
So okay. How could it be? Was that, and then Coming to America was later.
Yeah. This is when Rick was out of control.
Huh. All right. The song's catchy. I'll give you that. I'm not calling it a good song, though. It's classic because everybody knows and everybody brings it up in a mocking manner whenever we talk about people who chose not to stay in their own lane. For better or worse, Eddie Murphy's name gets mentioned because he came up with this song. And it's a catchy song. It's a song that a lot of people can probably sing. So perhaps that right there gives it the credence to get it called a great song. I don't think it's a great song necessarily. I just think it's catchy. It's poppy as hell.
I'm not saying he's like Bo Jackson, but he's way more Bo Jackson than Michael Jordan going baseball.
Hmm. Okay. All right. I can see that.
That just, not by much, but
okay.
For it to be a classic song, no album, and just ride off to the sunset.
So it was a single. He did not come out with any other music after that.
And that had to be on the Billboard charts.
Probably.
It had to be.
Let's see. Party all the time. There's got to be a Wikipedia page about it. All right, here we go. Song written and produced by Rick James. Lead single from Murphy's 1985 debut album, How Could It Be? Now, what is How Could It Be?
So that album never came out.
No, it came out.
Okay.
It has Do I, written by Stevie Wonder.
Yo, how does this album not go quadruple platinum?
Because the second song on the album, written by Eddie Murphy, was titled C-O-N Confused. Rick James co-wrote the third track, How Could It Be? By the way, this counts for the crap bag right now. We're not going to worry about firing off the sounder. How Could It Be? I wish... In parentheses, I could tell you when, which was co-written by David Allen Jones. Rick James does Party All the Time. Eddie Murphy does the next two songs. This one hurts. I, Me, Us, We. Followed by My God is Colorblind. He's pandering a little bit with that one. And then the final track. So this album is bookended by songs written by Stevie Wonder. The final track is called Everything's Coming Up Roses. Can you please pull Everything's Coming Up Roses up for us real quick, John, so that we can listen to this before I say goodbye to Zay for the day?
Yeah, I can't believe Stevie Wonder, the great Stevie Wonder. Rick James, I get it. Rick James was on The White Girl. But Stevie Wonder...
It's just faking being blind.
Oh, my gosh, man. I'm not going to let you do this to the great Stevie Wonder. Like, this is Motown's finest.
Kidding. I love Stevie Wonder. He is GOAT status.
But, yeah, I've heard the story about how you claim you saw him reaching for his glasses the mic or something that he shouldn't have been able to.
I'm saying it somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but there are some videos out there where it makes it seem like Stevie may not be seeing nothing. Like, there's actually, like, a tiny something coming through. When Stevie Wonder is driving through an airport on a golf cart and somebody sticks their hand out to give Stevie Wonder a freaking high five, and he gives... The slap high five, it's not like he barely touches the hand of somebody's like, hey, Stevie, give me a high five. What a jackass move that would be. I mean, Stevie unsolicited gives this guy a high five. He's standing up on stage in another instance, and a microphone starts falling over. And Stevie catches the microphone and puts it back up. And then there was another example, too, that I can't remember right now. It seems like Stevie, look, you can still be legally blind and, like, see very faint colors. And so this is Everything's Coming Up Roses.
Why can't he be just like Jean-Claude Van Damme and just have that instant, that sense, since he's blind, and just be able to react?
Oh, you think Stevie Wonder has been trained by Mr. Miyagi? He's going Danielson now? That he can have the blindfold on, the real-life blindfold, and actually just be reacting because he senses everything?
Yo, Jean-Claude Van Damme is way tougher than Cobra Kai, Cobra whatever. Way tougher than him. Karate Kid, no, he's suspect to Jean-Claude Van Damme. This is a jam.
Turn it up.
Everything seems to be coming up roses.
Just classic 80s.
Do you have the full album pulled up right there?
Yeah, I got like the full album.
Please
here.
Play Do I.
You got it.
This is the other Stevie Wonder song.
Gotta pull it up here real quick. It's not on Spotify, by the way. It's only on YouTube.
Oh, it's not? Okay, don't worry about it. We're up on the top of the hour. Zay, thank you so much for hanging out. Chad's going to take at least another week or two of vacation this summer. I'm going to have you back in for the full show next time.
Yo, Trey, it's been a blast, man. You're my vet. I feel like I'm a rookie still. And when you're a rookie coming into the business and you need a vet to show you the ropes in the game, you've been that for me ever since I got here. And I appreciate you for everything.
You're well beyond the freshman wall at this point, Zay. That would have happened the week of the ice storm, and we're well past that now. Keep killing it, man.
Appreciate it, man.
He is Isaiah Collier. Check him out on the morning show every day from 6 to 10. Coming up next, the great Jeff Ward joins me for the full hour, and at 2 o'clock, it's a roundtable discussion on food and restaurants here in Austin. You're listening to Shirts and Skins, minus Chad Hastings on the Horn.